Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the weekly National Security Hour with the America Out Loud Network. We're happy to be able to be with you today, broadcasting across the globe. And as usual, there's many things to talk about. So we're going to do that today. Our co-host, or my co-host, I should say, is Lieutenant General Tom McInerney. And of course, I'm Major General Paul Valley, U.S. Army retired. General McInerney is U.S. Air Force retired, and we have Ed Hoglan, who's retired DOD, Department of Defense Senior Executive, who specialized intelligence analysis and so on. So we are your three co-hosts each and every week. I should say that you can also pick up this recording, this National Security Hour, if you go to AmericaOutLoud.com. But it's also on a number of media players. It's on applications like Apple, Android, and Alexa. And what we do is record this once a week, different subjects. We break it down into three different segments for you to try to make it easy. But we certainly want to say we're also endorsed by the Stand Up America US Foundation. That's standupamericaus.org. So with that, let me throw out the first issue here. That's the balloons. Tom, you're Air Force. You know that NORAD's in charge of our security over North America. So what happened, and what do you think was not done that should have been done?
Well, thank you, General Valley. I appreciate that. What I think, for a little background, everybody should understand, I was a commander in the Alaska NORAD region for 4+ years, the longest serving commander up there, and I think till this day. The important thing is we have a process, and there's no way we could have missed that balloon at 60,000 feet. It is a big radar target, and with the different paraphernalia that they had hanging around it. So I know exactly what I would have done if I was the commander there. I would have informed the my boss, the NORAD commander, and we would have recommended that we shoot it down. Once it penetrates the air defense identification zone called the ADIZ, then that's a violation. We have many times when I was there as a commander, the bears would take off. I won't go into the details too much, but I changed.
That's a Russian aircraft, right? The bear?
Yeah.
Russian aircraft.
The bear is a Russian bomber aircraft,
yeah.
Nuclear cameras, and we would see him coming and et cetera. So that was they'd always show up about 2 o'clock in the morning. Excuse me, 2 o'clock in the morning in January and February. They like to come when it's minus 60 out at our alert sites at Galena and King Salmon, where we'd launch the F-15, full loads of missiles and fuel. So it was a dangerous takeoff, and they wanted to challenge us at that hour, 2 in the morning at minus 60 degrees, because you could have an afterburner blowout on that. And but I won't get into all those details. But the fact is, in addition, we had a Cobra Dane radar in my day, and they still have it out there at the end of the Aleutian chain called Shimia. Now, Shimia is no longer an active Air Force base, but the Cobra Dane radar is active. And that was used when the Russians were shooting missiles into Kamchatka. I'm giving you a lot of background, but knowing we have a lot
of experience.
But that radar could look deep into Kamchatka and into space, and we would launch a Cobra Ball aircraft out there, and that had big cameras. They're now down on Okinawa looking at the bases, the Chinese ports, to see if they're building up for an amphibious. But the Cobra Ball was a huge on an RC-135 lens on it, that it could see along distance and take pictures. So that's how the teaming worked.
Tom, let me interrupt you 1 second. Now, yeah. As I understand it, regional commanders, if there's an imminent threat, like a captain's ship at sea, they can take direct action against that threat. They don't have to go to the White House. I think that's human being. Am I correct?
Well, if we had the evidence that it was a nuclear aircraft coming in inbound, and normally it wouldn't be just one, it would be a flood of them,
right?
And you'd actually have the ICBMs come in first, the ICBM laydowns and all that, and then it's delegated to the regional commanders.
Right.
You're correct. In this particular case, because it was not, but because it proceeded so far up the Aleutian chain, then that would send up the antenna that we got a problem. Now, if they had notified us before that there was a balloon that was amiss because of weather or something, and they lost control, that would be fine. But they never did that. Remember, it did not become evident until it had gone through Alaska, through our ADIS up there, down through the Canadian ADIS, and then into the CONUS, Continental United States ADIS, coming through Canada,
Montana,
mm-hmm. and Ura and Billings,
mm-hmm.
and a newspaper photographer caught it and alerted the world.
Yeah.
So something is amiss.
Yes.
That they did not let the U.S. know. That's a target. Ed knows that from the intel business, and that it should have been broadcasted, and we should have notified the American public. But none of that was done.
The NORAD commander could have ordered that taken down once it entered U.S. airspace, right? If he knew it was a direct threat, they had missiles on it or whatever. But they evidently went to DOD, then to the White House. The White House didn't know what to do. That's the way I understand it.
Look, I think the White House had to know and had to give tacit approval for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look, those things just don't happen. As I say, once it broke, say it broke loose, even before it hit the Aleutian chain, because it was then going on a path, that's when they should have notified us. And so the key question to ask, and no one has said it, that we were notified, State Department was notified when it was 1,000 miles or 500 miles from the Aleutian chain, and that they no longer had control of it. That's when it would have been legit, and you could have believed that it was a weather balloon that had gone amiss. But they didn't do that, Paul. They did not do that. And as you see the way that maneuvers, it has maneuverability and can do certain things the way it's designed. That hasn't been discussed very much, but they should have immediately notified State Department and DOD through our hotline that this weather balloon was on the loose and they had no longer had control of it. But they didn't do that.
They didn't do that.
It took the reporter, the photographer at Billings to notify. So that's why, having my intimate knowledge of how the process works, would have pushed back on the Department of Defense at Air Force One Star, was making excuses.
Yeah, wasn't that terrible? He was afraid of the debris. And Governor Gianforte says, well, Eastern Montana, you could drop a lot out there and it wouldn't hit anything. Tom, let me go to Ed here for a second. Balloon technology has been around for a while and it's developed. We see all the hot balloons out in Albuquerque, New Mexico, every year. Tom and I were in Israel. I think we're up on the border, Tom, when the Israelis developed some very sophisticated balloon technology that extended from the Mediterranean across Lebanon into Syria so they could look down, watch down. And then we saw the different balloons. I've seen some pictorials where they can hang missiles, they can hang rockets, they can all be guided by a satellite direction from a command and control area in China. And so I think, number one, they were testing us, and number two, They could see how we reacted. And then three, the capability then of that balloon traversing across the United States. Your thoughts?
Well, so great points, gentlemen. And General McNamara hit it on the head. So when you take a look at those capabilities and coming across the United States, you know, I got to ask is, first of all, some of the generals said, well, they didn't perceive it as a threat. Okay, so how the hell would they know? How would they know it's not an EMP, a chem bio, or other thing? Okay. General Glenn Van Herk, the commander of the North American Aerospace Defense Command, which General McNary referred to, he said that, I will tell you that we did not detect those threats, and that's a domain awareness gap related to what they started to talk about Trump in the three flights during the Trump administration.
Yeah, blame Trump.
So they blame Trump, but they're not getting the story straight. So as General McNamara pointed out, they detected this thing way before it hit the Aleutian Islands. And what you hear President O'Biden say is, well, you know, it started to come down into Montana. And then they also say, well, the intel agencies took maximum precaution to prevent any intelligence collection from the spy balloon. Well, so what did they do? All right, run and hide under covers, you know. And you know, gentlemen, with the intelligence capabilities and collections that General McNamara made note of, and you, Paul, they have signals intelligence, they have different measures and signals aspects, they have imagery intelligence. So does it matter what they did? The Chinese were still going to be able to collect a plethora of different information.
Yeah. Plus they could check too. Now, you know, Ed, you can hang a basket on that and drop down COVID. I mean, there's all sorts of things you could do with any kind of release type of bombs or bomblets or whatever in those baskets and just drop them over an urban area. Yeah, the Chinese know this, you know, and I think we're so naive today in the lack of experienced people in our intelligence business. And then the woke generals and admirals, I mean, we're in deep trouble here from a national security standpoint. Go ahead.
No, absolutely right. And, you know, we are at war with China. It's a cognitive war. It's the gray zone war, but we are at war with China. And given the abysmal failure of our intelligence community to detect the China flu ahead of time and preclude 1 million murders in America today, then you have a balloon come across with this. And again, they didn't know for sure what it was, just intelligence collection, chem bio or others. And they let it float all the way across America. But Paul, I think this goes back to what you, General Vallet, and I had written about before in the Manchurian President. You know, I believe this guy's compromised, because if you take a look at his actions, they're always a day late, a dollar short, after the fact that something's already been collected. Sort of like just in Russia and Ukraine, even right now, every time Ukraine's need a certain type of weaponry or something like that, he'll agree to it, but just slightly after the fact, right? Yeah. And his, this case here, well, let's shoot it down, but let's wait till they do the whole collection mission.
Yeah, collect it all over America and then shoot it down. Listen, we got to go to a break. General McNamara, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the State of the Union speech tonight. But ladies and gentlemen, this is the National Security Hour with the American Out Loud Network, AmericaOutLoud.com. You can go to that. This show will be posted tomorrow. No, I think it will be posted on Thursday. We're recording it a little earlier on Tuesday. But anyhow, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the National Security Hour on America Out Loud, AmericaOutLoud.com. We're broadcasting globally around the world. We have a great audience. We hope to add to that audience even more in each and every week when we bring to you the latest news. We're going to talk now about the State of the Union speech tonight by President Joe Biden. General McInerney, what do you think he's going to say? He's going to blame him for everything, obviously, though.
I think General Vallet, he's going to try to paint a very rosy picture, particularly with the employment numbers that came out last week. And he's going to make it look very good that everything's rosy. Yeah, we have a budget deficit, and he's going to work it. But he's going to try to say that everything is rosy. And he's not going to talk about the balloon. He's not going to talk about the problems in we're having in the Ukraine. He's not going to talk about the Chinese expansionism in Asia and the potential in Formosa. Everything is teed up to make it look good based on his running for re-election in 2024.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. He'll stay away from everything. Of course, if anything is negative, he's going to blame it on Trump. Ed, your comments regarding the State of the Union speech this evening.
Well, I agree with Tom on this, is that just as he did in his first State of the Union speech and his inaugural speech, he talked about being the great unifier and reaching across the aisle.
Yeah.
So I think what he's going to do is he's going to become very partisan and bleed all over the Republicans. He's going to talk about, I think, the national debt in the context that the Republicans want to cut Social Security, Medicare, and stuff, which they've already said that's not the case. So he's going to obfuscate the whole budgetary aspect and paint a big rosy picture about how when he came into office, there was no inflation and the jobs were great. And I mean, the inflation was already on the way up and jobs were already suffering and the economy was crashing, which we all know was a lie. So I see he's probably going to do what his press secretary does on a day-to-day basis. He's going to lie once again to the American public. And that's going to be reinforced by the mainstream media, who's now the fifth column in our country rather than the fourth estate, the free press. And they're going to re-echo his false narratives and lies. And I think he'll end up with some discussions that will further divide America rather than unite America.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Absolutely. I don't know whether you saw the news. They're building that multi-million dollar fence wall around the Capitol, the people's building, the people's house, so the people can't get in. I mean, and they can't build a wall on our southern border. What's the deal there, Tom? Any idea? What's up with these people?
Look, they are trying to do and make 6th January look like an insurrection. And they know with the Republicans running the House and all the information and all the video, which should be released and it should be done very quickly by the Republicans right away. McCarthy should do that.
Yeah.
And let the American people know it was not an insurrection. It was a deliberate con job by the FBI. Unfortunately, Director Wray does not have control, and by both the Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi set that up, and the guards let people come in and all that. So they're still trying to make the issue. And unfortunately, the judiciary is corrupt and is gone along with it and locked so many of these people up that do not have any of their rights. But that's the reason for the wall, Paul. And the Republicans ought to stop that right away in the House. Kevin McCarthy ought to cease and desist on that.
No, I agree. Hey, Ed, you know, they're having the congressional hearings now started. They started last week, and we have over 100 people still incarcerated in jails unjustifiably from January 6th. Are these hearings, are the Republicans going to really be able to do anything?
I unfortunately don't think they're going to have a major impact because, as you both know, so far they've been mostly spineless in their ability to go up and actually visit these prisoners whose civil rights have been completely abrogated, whose constitutional rights have been taken away now for over a year to 2 years. And very few members of Congress have gone up there because they've been intimidated by the weaponization of our national security. And so I don't think the committee will do much there, but to your point about the wall, let me go back and remind the audience that under Queen Nancy, the Capitol had a division or two of armored troops deployed around it after January 6th. Yet all the constituents across America who suffered under $2 billion worth of damage and were murdered on a daily basis got no protection. So when you take a look at this speech tonight by the president, take a look at whether he talks as a public servant or if he talks as a dictator and king. And I think you'll find that the way he's going to convey his message is as a dictator and king. And he's going to do just what General McNary and you said, General Vallee, is he's going to try to repaint Republicans and anybody who supports our Constitution as extremists.
No, exactly. Well, I mean, we have so many challenges this year. We've got to turn this country around. We have to have a awakening across the country. And as General McInerney and I wrote in our book, America's Endgame for the 21st Century, the whole first chapter goes towards the spiritual awakening of America. And that's what we have to have. But I don't think you're going to see any spiritual awakening in the Democrats. I don't think they even believe in God the way they're acting, communist ideologues. Where's their honesty and integrity? They lie at every opportunity about every subject, about every issue.
Well, if I can interject here, you know, General McNary has brought this up, these 5 points numerous times. And so the negative aspects of Afghanistan, energy independence, the indoctrination, open borders and inflation. Now, General McNary, why don't you, if you can expand on those, because, you know, those are the areas that he's not going to cover. But that's why 73% of Americans think we're on the wrong track. But he's going to tell them lies tonight, telling them how good they should feel. General McNary, you have thoughts?
Yeah, well, you're spot on, Ed. The fact is he's going to look through rose-colored glasses, but he's not going to talk about the inflation that you're talking about the open borders, where we have 5 million people who've come across. They're going to be a huge burden on our medical system. And I was talking to some people just the other day. It's getting hard for people, normal people, to get hospital appointments. We're looking at the critical race theory that they're still forcing down the military and K through 12 and college, and companies now are forcing that on their employees. That's a Marxist ideology. Since when did your skin color drive the merits of your performance? And we all have seen Tucker Carlson when he had that pilot, American Airlines pilot, on that had a heart attack 6 minutes or so after he landed because he had a mandatory vaccination and all those repercussions that we're talking about. And so that's what he's missing, and that's what the American people are sensing, Ed.
If I can also bring back something. So we know that he's inviting Tyree Nichols' family to this, right? And he's going to use it as a means to then...
That's the young man that was...
murdered in Memphis. Yes, murdered in Memphis.
Yeah, okay.
By 5 black police officers. Mm-hmm. And my feeling on this is how the Democrats do things. They take a very sad chapter and they then twist it into a false narrative. And the false narrative here is, it's not police reform that we need overall. What we need is accountability in law enforcement. And when I speak of that, I'm talking about at the very top. Why did those policemen think they could get away with it? Well, if you take a look at Attorney General Merrick Garland, you take a look at FBI Director Wray, and you look at their continued abuse and weaponization of the police state against the average citizens, including parents calling them terrorists. They are the reason why these gentlemen, I believe, felt they could get away with murder of an innocent young man. And now the guy who's leading that has invited their parents into the den of the public's house to then feed them a false narrative of how he's going to fix things, when actually him, Attorney General, and the FBI director, in my opinion, are to be held accountable for that murder.
Yeah, well, we're totally corrupt, that's for sure, in the justice system. But yeah, we're going to talk about more threats to America, what we can do about them, and then see, basically, if we can come up with some recommended solutions to Biden who we know is a puppet. Joe McInerney pointed out Obama's running everything from Colorado, a couple miles away from the White House. But anyhow, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back. This is the National Security Hour with General Tom McInerney, General Vallely, and Ed Hoglund. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Ladies and gentlemen, across the globe, this is the National Security Hour with the American Out Loud Network, AmericanOutloud.com. Your host today, Lieutenant General Tom McInerney, U.S. Air Force retired. Ed Hoglund, retired senior executive from the Department of Defense. And myself, Major General Paul Vallely, U.S. Army retired. Ed, I thought we would kick off this third segment, final segment, with the new movement called Restore America. Can you talk about that and what the intention is and mission is?
No, fantastic. Well, I appreciate that. And so what we've done, the three of us, and based on Paul's brilliance, have stood up a Citizens Commission to Restore America. And within that context, we put together a plan of which the mission is to safeguard the American dream, the Constitution, and freedoms for the future generations of America by ensuring the resilience and security of our republic. And the key aspects there are we want to move from a reactive posture to a proactive posture and do that by working with American citizens who hold the real power in this country. And we want to do that as well by making you aware of the issues, enabling you to take action, and then ask you to take action. And an exemplar is that this week we'll be releasing a new directive authored by Major General Vallely on America's war plan to stop the Mexican cartels. As you know, with the open border, there's systemic problems, issues, and it's going to have a massive impact on our debt. It already had a massive impact on deaths in this nation with the drug war. And so in this directive, which will be sent to the House Speaker, majority leaders in the Senate, and also a copy to the Secretary of Defense, Joint Chiefs, and Special Operations Command. We basically direct that the Secretary of State do what he's authorized under executive order and the law is to declare the cartels an international threat and terrorist organization. We direct that the Congress, which has the sole power to do so, declare war on the Mexican drug cartels, and that the Department of Defense and U.S. Special Operations Command develop and conduct the necessary intelligence and combat operations to remove and conduct war operations to remove and eliminate the drug cartels.
Yeah, yeah, excellent. General McInerney, you may recall over the last year, you and I have both been getting, whether it's over radio or television, whatever, people want to know what we can do. Where's the leadership in the country to counter what's happening in Washington, D.C. and the deep state? And when we wrote our book, America's Endgame for the 21st Century, we put in there, it's a blueprint. And of course, that's what the CCRA is. Restore America is a blueprint for restoring America in the Constitution.
Absolutely. And the important things are, is every American that's listening to this or talking about it must know that this is our Battle of the Bulge. This is our Normandy. They must stand up and do these things, whether it is articulating it through their congressional personnel, whether it is providing regional defenses as volunteers for this border invasion that we've got. It is a new type of America that our founding fathers saw that we now must get back on track. We can no longer sit and watch in television and criticize it. It is voting. It is demanding an election system that is not corrupt, that meets the needs of the American people. And all these things, it means involvement. Paul, as you and I, as we printed in our book, and Americans must get involved to a degree that we have never done before. And Ed is laid out those features. We need to demand, for instance, that our military take a role in destroying those drug cartels south of the border. We must do that. And we must demand it in our local communities, in our schools. The moms and dads must demand that they get rid of critical race theory, that this Marxist ideology and all this stuff, that this transgender stuff and all this stuff that's coming out that is clearly anti-American and anti what our founding fathers wanted to do. So we have all got to take a role. And that's why the three of us are spending so much time on showing the American people the way they need to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And in any movement, just like America First or the Tea Party movement, it took leadership, it took structure organization, it took some funding. And this is what we've included in our plan called the Citizens Commission to Restore America. But, you know, you go back and Joe McInerney, you've made the point that the rate we're losing young Americans from fentanyl is equivalent or more than what we lost in World War II on a daily basis. And it's true. The cartels run the border now. There's no doubt about it. Their tentacles reach in every city in America. They have agents in every city that fence all of the money. They fence all the drugs. The cartels also, from a very good contact I have, Mr. Avila, who was one of the officers in DEA, he almost was killed by the cartels, but he says, you know, the Mexican government is run by the cartels today. And so now you have Biden going down to Mexico. They want to do this Northern Alliance with Canada, where you have a dictator up there in Trudeau. And then you have the United States and Mexico. They want to tear down all the borders. So it's all one country, basically. That's what it's all about. Ed?
Yeah, and so that's also why, for the listening audience, the first directive we put out was to the United States governors. And the reason the plan is focused, as General Vallee says, is, and McInerney, on the people, is because that's where the power in this country resides. But you have to exercise that power. As General McInerney said, you have to get out, you have to get out and vote, you have to get out and speak. And the 10th Amendment and the governors and the states and the people, that's where the power resides. But we've abdicated that to Washington.
And why don't the governors, Ed, why don't the governors use the 10th Amendment more? Defense all these illegal directives and executive orders from the federal government. I don't understand it. I don't even hear the governors talk about the 10th Amendment.
Yeah, and that's a great point. So you saw where the governor of Texas, Abbott, he declared an invasion. But why haven't the rest of the governors across the country declared an invasion?
Yeah, because they have invaded in every city, Chicago, San Francisco, L.A., New York, Memphis, wherever you go. The cartels are there.
Well, let's bring this back also to the Chinese threat and terrorist threat. So you have not only 6 million illegals that cross into the country. And for the audience in context, that's 6 cities of 20,000 people, 6 cities of 20,000 people in every state of the union, all 50 states. That's 6 million. That's what it equates to. Where are those people going? And that's not counting the million on top of that gotaways.
And 305,000 gotaways last month, Ed. 305,000, they reported, gotaways.
Yeah, and they just recently captured an Iranian terrorist on the watch list. And so if you look at this from an nefarious perspective, even if you take a small percentage of that, 1 million gotaways, and you say, let's say 10% of that, that's 100,000 people spread across the different states. That's an army in every state that can cause major harm and chaos. There are only 11 hijackers required to do 9/11. Now we have 1 million gotaways in the country. And so to your point, Paul, exactly. The governor should not only be declaring an invasion, but they should be pushing back hard on the federal government. I mean, Arizona and the other border states removed the containers that blocked the remaining portions of the walls. Why is that? Why didn't they take that to court and fight that? Why haven't they mobilized their National Guards to then take care? And now we have a rancher down in Texas just yesterday who shot an illegal protecting himself on his ranch, likely. And now he's in prison on a $1 million bond. And so this is going to spread across America like flames, because people don't understand that these 6 million to 7 million people spread across America, that's 60,000 plus people in every state. And if even a small percentage of those are nefarious, we have some major issues that can come our way, especially as you saw up in New York, those that were housed in the five-star hotels saying, well, America's got all this money and stuff, they should just give us more, and we're not leaving the hotels.
$190 a night per room in the Holiday Inn, which amounts to $100,000 a day that we're paying for. And that's only just a small parcel. Let's go ahead and look at, okay, so we've got balloons flying over America. We're getting invaded from the south. Now you have the Chinese that are spreading all over, everywhere over the South China Sea, Sea of Japan, influencing about every sea lane over there. And we've just authorized, well, they did authorize a very big expansion on U.S. facilities in Guam. Tom, what are the Chinese up to, do you think? Do you think they're going to hit Taiwan, or do you think they're just trying to antagonize us so they can be the dominant superpower?
Well, I think they're going to watch and see what we do. And that's why I believe that we ought to create in the Pacific a Pacific Area Treaty Organization called PAITO that should contain China's expansion out there. And it's very important that we get Korea, Japan, Australia, New Zealand, Thailand, Philippines, all those countries to come together and be part of the Pacific Area Treaty Organization and acknowledge that the expansion that China is doing, that we must take it serious. It is a war-making stance to contain China's expansion, and that the billions of dollars that U.S. companies are putting in artificial intelligence into Chinese companies,
yes,
the Congress should stop that. We must stop building them up economically. And all these things go together. And if we have the right organization, Paul, I believe PAITO, the Pacific Area Treaty Organization, that we can do this and we address it properly.
That's a great idea. Well, I've spent, as you know, a lot of time out in the Pacific. A lot of people don't realize the strength of the different countries there. Japan has one of the finest armed forces in the world. South Korea, Thailand, Vietnam, and the Philippines, where we spent decades there. So there's a lot of formidable forces that could be put together in alliance if someone would take the initiative. And of course, I think, General McNair, they keep looking for America to do it, but we're not doing it.
And only we,
it, but we don't do it.
Only we can lead it and do it. And we've got a president that does not want to. We've got a president that is beholden to China. His family has made billions off of China. China owns them. And that's why I think it's extremely dangerous, the situation we are facing now, and why it's important we go back to the election, that we demand audits on these elections and go all the way back to 2020. But the Republican leadership is not doing that. We don't have the leadership within the Republican Party with Rona McDaniel, with Kevin McCarthy, or with McConnell that is willing to take this on. They must do that. We must prepare ourselves and organize ourselves and to do that. And you and Ed are spot on it. And it's something that we must do and do soon.
Yeah. No, absolutely right. Ed, what's going on over there in the Far East of China, but a lot of our resources have been allocated to the Far East now. And of course, we see a depletion in our equipment and ammunition and inventories. So we're shipping so much into the Ukraine. So we're dismantling ourselves. We're lowering our capability. And the enemies of America see that.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Exactly, Major Valley. And there's one thing that both you gentlemen also understand very well, based on Paul's writing in the mind wars, okay, and what I call a cognitive war, is what's missing from this picture. not only are we depleting our kinetic capabilities, but we've deployed what we can to kinetic capabilities in the Far East. And everybody's preparing for a kinetic war. But why are they all preparing for this versus taking time out with our allies, as General McNerney pointed out, and do what we did with the Cold War with the Soviets, is develop a whole set of influence and communication, strategic communications capabilities to then drive disruption inside China. Because as you both know, 80% of China's military is spent watching the people inside China and keeping them under wraps. And so there's a huge weakness there to take advantage of, but yet we forgo taking advantage of that weakness by not taking the allies that General McNerney mentioned and putting together a multifaceted strategy to help drive messaging back inside China. And we missed a perfect opportunity when you see those massive uprisings in China. And then what does Apple do? They take away the airdrop so these people can't communicate with each other, and therefore they shut down the riots. But China is getting ready to go tinderbox, and it would have caused them to then look inward 100%. But our people, our technology folks, then go ahead and give them an advantage to then go ahead and drive the people back into subjugation. So there's many ways to fight this war. We don't have to have a kinetic war. We could fight a cognitive war ahead of time to drive China to react, but we failed to seem to do that.
Yeah. So anyhow, we got balloons over America. We got the Chinese. We got the cartels. Now let's look internally in our cities. The rise in criminality, burglarizing, attacks on innocent people. The recruitment in the police forces is down tremendously. The early retirements are down. And we have negligent the district attorneys and mayors and governors also that aren't protecting the American people. They're incentivizing crime in America. I mean, this is a true threat when we look at the lack of action against Antifa, a guerrilla force of elite whites mostly. All left-wing, not right-wing terrorism, left-wing terrorism. And you look at black racism that's going on in America. It's terrible. Conquer and divide. So all of these things, and that's why we're alerting America, General McNerney, and on what we have to do. You've asked us what we have to do, and we're doing it. We're putting out a plan. We want it executed in every county. We want Restore America to spread across the country. And let's take charge of this country for now and forever. We need to be in charge. The people in Washington work for us. We hired them, and they're not doing the job. Anyhow, any concluding comments, General McInerney, before we end today's hour on the National Security Hour?
Well, it's important that every person listening to this broadcast, everybody understand that we all as Americans have got to protect this Constitution with our responsibilities. And that means taking critical race theory out of schools, taking this transgender stuff out of schools, these racial issues. You saw that a doctor in Southern California was run over by a person because of he felt the doctor was white privilege. Mm-hmm. And he gets out of the car and then goes and stabs him after he's hit him on his bicycle. We cannot accept this. And that's what this racial divide that they are trying to build on us and emphasizing the critical race theory. All these things are designed to divide America. And O'Biden will not talk about this tonight in his speech and his State of the Union speech. Unfortunately, he's going to look at it with rose-colored glasses when they are deliberately doing what they're trying to do, and that's destroy America.
Absolutely, absolutely. Ed, any closing comments?
Yes, and so leveraging off what Tom just highlighted, one of the things I'd like the audience to understand is when people talk about white versus black and reparations and stuff, what the false narratives the far left extremists forget to paint is that the majority of Americans came here as immigrants well after the slavery aspect. And so they're painting generations of Americans white and other as being racist. And so, as Tom said, it's time to get involved. It's time to speak up, to act, because all tyranny needs for us to do is nothing. And so with the plan, with the directives, we ask you to get involved and give you a non-threatening way to get involved, because you have to start exercising your voice and your freedoms, or the small minority of radical extremists, it's a small minority, will then run over us.
Yeah. Thank you, Ed. Thank you, General McInerney. This comes to a close of the National Security Hour on America Out Loud, AmericaOutLoud.com. This will air within the next 24 to 48 hours. We'd like to get your feedback, and you can provide us feedback at the Stand Up America U.S. Foundation. The website for that is the StandUpAmericaUS.org, StandUpAmericaUS.org. Contact us, let us know your feelings, your ideas, your comments. We'd love to hear them. And again, thanks, Joe McInerney. Thanks, Ed. It was a great hour. We covered a lot of subjects, but these are things that America needs to understand. And this is what we're trying to do, to bring some understanding to what's going on and what actions we need to take. Thank you. Thank you very much. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.